Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Warning. This episode contains foul language, potential triggers for emotional and physical abuse, and reference to rape. Listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, paranormal, supernatural, creepy, sticky, gross, scary, and everything in between. Each week we sit down with a friend and talk about something weird. But this week is the week you've all been waiting for, apparently. We've had so many requests to return to this topic, and we are so pumped to do so. Today is going to be part two of our cults episode. Cults is an ongoing segment in our first installment of cults, which was very long ago, episode 17. We discussed what makes a cult, what kind of people become cult leaders, what kind of people join cults, and what makes a religion different from a cult. And this week, we're going to be focusing on brainwashing, different methods used, and how brainwashing affects these vulnerable people emotionally and even physically. My name is Ashley, and this is my co-host, Lauren.
Hey, weirdos.
And joining us this week, once again, is our good friend and cult expert, Tyler Schulke.
Woo! Hey, weirdos.
Hey, Ty.
Hey.
Did you like the cult expert thing? That was just for you.
I really enjoyed that. Yeah. Did you see how I sat up? I got ready
you
soon as that happened.
Like, I'm honored.
Yes. I'm honored to be the resident cult.
and a little bit. No, I'm not nervous, actually. I that's an exciting title.
It is.
It's a lot to live up to, but...
Yeah, people have been asking about the cults. One of our iTunes reviews was like, it didn't say if they even liked us or not. Yeah, five
stars.
When's
the next cult?
When is the cult series coming back?
I like it, though. Straight to the point.
Yeah, you told us what you wanted. The people have spoken. You still gave us five stars. So I'm not upset, but it was pretty funny.
Watch as it was me.
Oh my gosh. What's funny is it probably is you.
No, I promise it's not, but that would be so great if it was.
So Tyler was like, I just kind of want to come back on the show and maybe if I...
Where's the cult series? The guy on that episode was amazing.
Yes.
This is your third episode with us because you also did Journey to the Bermuda Tyler, which was episode 3. That was so much fun.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, we went on a little
field trip to the Beverly Hills Bermuda Triangle.
We got in and out. What a great day.
Oh, yeah.
It was Leah's birthday.
Oh, yeah. And we sent those absurd videos to her.
Julia.
I sang like a country song to her, I feel like, or something
Happy
weird happened.
Happy birthday, Leah.
Oh, yeah, you remember.
Oh, one
it.
Of your ditties.
Happy birthday, Leah.
Yes.
That was it. I sing a lot of ditties, you know.
Your ditties.
You are a diddier.
I am a diddier. It's my new title.
Okay, so cults. This week we're going to be focusing on brainwashing, which is something that exists in all cults and kind of, it actually exists.
In other places, like in military, in life as well.
Prisoners of war, like there's brainwashing involved in that. There's brainwashing involved in politics, which I'm going to talk about.
Like there's faith leaders, not necessarily
faith leaders,
not necessarily
cult leaders, but
right. Mm-hmm. And not saying like I'm not saying like a preacher, like I'm saying like a faith leader who's saying like they can heal.
Oh yes,
the stuff
yeah. I wasn't even thinking
and,
that.
But
and then
sure
the ones
right
that like
either.
You know push you back with force
yeah.
when they like say
that's
they're
true, and then people fall to the ground and are like, "Oh Jesus!"
Yes, all
yeah.
of that.
Those
yeah.
speaking
things
in
scary.
Tongues.
Heavy,
yeah.
yeah,
there's a lot of brainwashing involved in that.
I was thinking faith leaders, even with I've been to churches before where like everyone who's on staff at the church is clearly brainwashed, and I wouldn't necessarily say that the church was a cult. I mean, maybe it would be by definition if you really looked into it, but I just, like, everyone on that staff was like, I only serve this man. I can't believe people go to other churches. Like, we have the answer. Like, everything they would say, I was like,
well,
what?
Even, remember last time you were on, you talked about, like, that fitness group.
They were like cult leaders.
I also read some things online of people joining pyramid schemes like Herbalife and things like that.
That is so
and
funny.
That having a cult mentality and some brainwashing techniques sprinkled in too. So
well, that's really funny
total.
Because you'll find out later, but the cult I researched, he had a pyramid scheme in the 90s.
Really?
That's how this all began.
That's how it all started. So simply put, brainwashing is the attempt to change the thoughts, beliefs, and feelings of another person against their will or without them knowing that that's what you are doing.
Right. Yes, like subconsciously.
Exactly. So, or not
fine
so
and dandy.
Subconsciously, but... Brainwashing happens all kinds of ways and in all types of situations. In psychology, it's often referred to as thought reform, and it usually falls under the sphere of social influence. And social influence happens seriously every minute of every day. Like, you are always influenced by your surroundings. That's why when you go to a small town and you're like, how can all these people be closed-minded? It's like, well, you are the company that you keep.
Right.
So if you are surrounded by the same people that have the same ideas as you, you're never going to get new ideas.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yeah. I always think, what would have happened if I had stayed in my small town in Illinois?
What would my beliefs be?
Because I go home and have such a judgment for the things people say, and I'm like, would I be the same person if I'd never left this little bubble?
That's true, but also with social media influencing as well, small towns are not as small. I mean, there still are obviously pockets, but that's what's also interesting too, because like people don't realize that a lot of these cults or a lot of these tactics are back in a day when there was no social media.
True.
So there wasn't that huge,
they were able to
exposure.
Isolate
easier
in different ways.
Yeah.
And the thing is like, I'm not knocking small towns. Like, it happens to old city folk too.
Oh,
but the thing is with like people that live in larger cities, they, you know, it's a lot harder to be influenced by thought reform because you're constantly meeting different people and getting different points of view and different cultures and different blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to like, only have that one idea constantly, you know, be brought to your attention.
Yeah.
But it can also happen in like cliques.
Yes. Yeah.
Cliques can get that way with thought reform. It can also happen like your parents can influence you if you're living with your parents, your siblings, your teachers. Like, it can happen anywhere. It's not just small towns. It's not just like podunk people. It's not just.
Well, actually, it's quite the opposite. Like, the more stuff that I've researched and the more findings I found, it's the more intellectual, the more free thinking, the more creative, so to speak, people
that are getting
into these cults and getting brainwashed because they start to, you know, they start to think inward and they start to think,
if
you don't have the capacity to be to think like that, then you're not going to be brainwashed. So that's why they say it takes a more intellectual person to be.
And I think you're also intellectual people are searching for meaning.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
In more ways than.
And that's why a lot of celebrities actually go to it, because like a lot of celebrities are
like
broken,
Kabbalah,
you know, people like actors.
Scientology.
Like, I need to
find
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like
that's
faith.
Like, you know, Tom Cruise, Allison Mack, that is like you're gravitated towards trying to find a deeper meaning. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when they were all into Kabbalah?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Wasn't Madonna into that?
Madonna, I think she was one of the first. I just remember there was like a period in time in like the early aughts where like everyone had the red bracelets.
Yeah.
And it was like a whole thing.
What did Tina Turner get into? That might have just been Buddhism. Never mind.
Yeah.
I feel like it was like, I remember.
She just did yoga. Never mind.
Yeah. I remember Tina Turner like changing her life and getting into stuff. But I think she was just like, I'm Buddhist now. And that was the end.
A little different.
Hold for plane. That's a loud plane. Am I crazy?
No, it's loud.
Okay.
It is flying into the building.
It sounds like it's landing in your driveway.
No, yeah. Jeez Louise. The other day, Joe and I were out there and we were just drinking wine and like hanging out. It was such a nice night. And we were trying
UFO
to.
Came.
Yeah. No, we were trying to listen to a podcast like on a phone or something. And it was Joe was like, we have to go inside. We live at Heathrow. Like, there were so many planes. We kept having to pause the podcast.
That was
we
so dramatic.
Yeah, we live at Heathrow.
We live at Heathrow. We're going indoors. Like, that is the most dramatic answer you can give.
I was
apparently, this
queen.
Apartment is the airport. So I'm going indoors.
That was incredible.
This is the Denver airport. I'm leaving. There's so much weird shit in here. There's so many planes.
There's already Satan worshippers in here. I have to get out.
So, but also, if you look, I wanted to cover brainwashing, not just, I mean, we all actually chose some really interesting things because we're not talking about like Charles Manson. We're not talking about, we're talking about things that I don't think that a lot of people know about yet, especially with like your new development, Tyler. This is breaking news, but
my
also
one is one I'd never heard of.
You've never heard of your cult. I'm actually talking about something that's not necessarily a cult, but it's like major brainwashing. But also I wanted to bring to everyone's attention, like, look at all the way people have been brainwashed when it comes to children's clothes and toys.
Yes.
So this whole like all it's the only reason is because it's been repeated and repeated to our parents, our grandparents, and passed down to us that girls wear pink and boys wear blue. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's not a thing.
And now it's a society. Real. Well, now it's a society requirement almost. Right. You know, you see a pink shirt on a baby and you're automatically, okay, it's a girl.
That's a girl.
Well, and when they like do the gender reveal parties now and it's like a pink or a blue balloon, like that everyone automatically just makes those
my
colors.
My daughter wanted a goddamn green balloon.
I know. Why couldn't we do a
she's
green balloon
born,
for a girl?
But she wants green.
Yeah.
Pink. No, but yeah, even just like girls play with dolls, boys play with guns.
I feel
that
like
whole thing.
I feel G.I. like
well, do you
I
know why
remember.
That happened?
Well, no, I just know that recently, I can't remember if it's France, it's some European country, but they've made it basically illegal to advertise that. So you have to have a boy and a girl, say, in a Barbie commercial. You have to have a boy and a girl in a car commercial.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree.
Well, the thing is, the reason that that started is to make more money. Because back in the day, you just had baby clothes and baby toys. And they were like building blocks, teddy bears, maybe like a rolly dog that you pull on a string that's like, ar, 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 ar. Like, those were toys.
Sign me up.
No girl toys. There were no boy toys.
Right.
Even boys back in the day, like baby dolls, that was just for children.
Yeah.
Boys and girls. And the people that were making the baby clothes and making the toys wanted to make more money. So if you think about it, if you sell all of this baby girl stuff to a baby girl and then they have a baby boy, they have to buy a whole new wardrobe.
Yep.
They have to buy all new toys.
They went down and they done Apple'd
so
that.
Smart. So they did.
Yeah,
so
it's
now,
exactly what Apple does with like chargers. And,
there's,
and
so, yeah, there's no so hand-me-downs. Right. You can't hand-me-down now because you had a boy instead of a girl. So it's all
that's
a marketing
so
ploy.
True.
But now it's so ingrained in society that it's actually ending up causing problems because now we have little boys that want to play with a doll and we have little girls who want to play with a dinosaur.
And then
I
we
had
have
to walk
judgmental
down.
Parents looking at those kids saying, why is she playing with
yeah.
that?
And it's
no.
like
it's a boy's toy.
Where did you get this idea?
She's
who brainwashed
kid.
You? We're right. all brainwashed. That's a brainwashing that happened to literally everyone on the planet.
World.
Actually, I will say this though. I was one of those little boys. And
I turned out just fine.
I turned out great.
You did.
I had incredible parents, and I was embarrassed. I was the one who was embarrassed to walk down the Barbie aisle, and I made up, and my parents always went along with it. They were phenomenal. We were shopping for my cousin Melissa, and every time my mom would bring up a dress and be like, oh, I think Melissa would like this. I'm like, oh, I'm not quite sure. Maybe she'd like this one. You know what I mean? But we had this whole routine.
But you shouldn't have had to hide
that
it.
We shouldn't have to hide. And also, I was uncomfortable calling them Barbies. So my parents said, well, why don't we call them big toys? They're just bigger than your action figures. So why don't we call them big toys? So they're like, I was like, okay, I'd love that. So let's go shopping for big toys. Like, I mean, it was funny because I was the one that was putting those stereotypes on my, or not stereotypes, but you know what I mean? Putting that pressure
people.
On myself. My parents were very accepting of it, actually.
Which is really
so that's
great.
Really, yeah, it's really cool. Like, yeah. I wish that most people thought that way. I don't understand.
And like the thing is, and I totally understand, because Target started doing this thing where they're like, hey, we're not going to have a girls section and a boys section anymore. We're going to put it all together. The only thing that's a problem with that is like if you want to go in and buy something specifically for a girl, then that's frustrating.
Yeah.
Like we've already made it to the point where like this is the girl stuff, this is the boy stuff, right. that now you can't really integrate it. They have to start manufacturing things that are unisex.
Yeah.
Because if you have to have a girl's aisle and a boy's aisle just for like convenience. It's like it would be like putting like the frozen pizzas with the cereal.
Right.
It's like,
right.
well, that doesn't make sense.
I get it. Yeah. And there's also different shapes and body sizes and body parts that you need to
we're
account
in
for.
Way
you have
too
to account
now.
For. Yeah, it's too deep now. The only way that you would solve this is like for the people who are making the stuff to initially make it unisex.
Yeah.
Because once it gets to the store, you've got to split it up or people are going to be like, well, I need a dress.
Yeah.
So where do I go?
Looking for a dress.
Yeah.
I know.
No, that's true.
You're just confusing everybody now.
So I understand why people are like, this is fucking ridiculous. Because it is kind of ridiculous. Because it shouldn't be, you know, that girls wear dresses and boys wear, you know, suspenders or whatever the fuck. But it is. So now, you know, you can't, you have to split it up or it's just going to, it's going to be pandemonium. Because if I go to Target with an idea in mind, like I want a bib that has Elsa on it. Elsa?
Elsa.
From Frozen?
From Frozen.
Good
okay.
For you.
Yes, see, I did it.
I am beaming right now with pride.
That has Disney. Elsa on it. I want to know where to go and I want to get it immediately. I don't want to wander around the children's section for
but you should also be able
hour.
To go to the boy section and find an Elsa shirt or the girl section and find an Elsa shirt.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's true. That's
boys can wear an Elsa shirt.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I actually know a lot of boys who love Elsa. So
you would wear an Elsa shirt.
I
right now. I'm not even talking about little kid.
You don't want to
even
know what's
on
this.
Tomorrow.
You don't even know what I'm wearing.
I have no idea what. Yeah.
Tyler's wearing an Elsa shirt.
See my underwear. I have Elsa underwear. It even has her braid. No. Okay.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Anyways, the whole point of that was like
brainwashing.
That's the thing. It's like that is a literal form of brainwashing. Yeah. Everyone on the planet, or at least especially in this country, has been brainwashed to think this is how it is. It hasn't even been that way for that long.
Are you saying then like, most advertising is brainwashing? Because say 100%. Like you're saying like you see ribs on the TV, they're basically subconsciously saying you need to come and eat my ribs.
Well, if you look at like actually I was going to get to some of the brainwashing techniques that aren't necessarily, because we're going to go over a lot of brainwashing techniques and there's some really severe ones. There's like torture, rape. You look at like sex trafficking, that's all brainwashing. That's, you know, you take away the person's self and you replace it with what you want, and that's brainwashing.
A lot of desensitizing too.
A lot of desensitizing. So that we're going to be talking about some like really kind of crazy stuff, but there's also brainwashing that's used all the time in like ads, sales pitches. It's all brainwashing, and one of the things is repeating your opinion. If you repeat your opinion over and over, people start to actually have that opinion.
Like take it
and
as
they've
fact.
Done studies on this. It's
they don't do it for
just,
me. I'm saying all sorts of shit over here. Nobody's listening.
No one's listening.
No one is listening to
me. Well, actually, so when you talk about ads, how many times during a commercial do you hear the name of the product?
Oh, God.
Eight million.
When you think about that,
if
even
it's a
like,
McDonald's
like,
commercial, they're going to say McDonald's like five times in a 30-second ad.
Well, how many times do they say in like acting classes, like make sure that you punch the name of it. So make sure you find like the name of it and make sure that you always are saying the name of it the same way so that people will get to that point. So they'll be like, oh yeah, Nexium. Oh yeah. Like you know, they always sing those big complicated, I only could think of Flonase now. That's not complicated.
But it's always that big
complicated. But it's always that,
name.
But they're saying it 1,400 times and you're like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. If you watch an ad or a car commercial, it's like Ford. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, and also, like, they use it in the way with jingles. When you hear a jingle that's really catchy, that repeats
in
your head over and over and over again.
Fresh to your family from Jewel. Did anyone shop at Jewel?
800-8553. Do you remember on Ellen, she would have people come and, like, do if they remembered it. They like win prizes for knowing it.
Yeah.
Because you are so sitting there jingles. On the couch subconsciously learning that medley. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Do you
ever
remember call
it forever?
I know. Do you ever call it? I know. But that's the thing is like you know, if you're watching a commercial and you're like, I hate McDonald's, but then you see a McDonald's commercial and they say McDonald's 700 times and you're like, Mickey D's isn't that bad.
It's not the worst.
It's not the worst thing. But they actually did studies, and researchers, it's known as memory distortion, and it's basically a glitch in your brain where the interplay of repetition and assumption makes us form our beliefs around whatever opinion is most familiar to us. So studies have shown that if one person repeats the same opinion three times, it has a whopping 90% chance of converting three different people in a group to have the same opinion.
Wow. That's so interesting.
Just a repetition.
That's the same thing with a billboard. It takes a certain, I don't know the exact percentage, but it's like you will, if you look at a billboard for longer than a certain number of seconds, it'll take you three times to do that for you to be like, oh, what is that? Like you will see something three times without realizing that you've seen it before, but you've paid attention because you've looked at it that amount of times and it's the repetition. Yeah. So it's just the same. It's just like the way that your makeup is almost.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's something that happens in your brain.
Right.
Which is really, but, and like, that's,
yeah, it's washing.
It's definitely something.
It's washing, you know?
It's washing. Brain
washing. It's
on rinse cycle.
But that's something that, like, obviously can be used in, like, a really scary way. Like, if someone's repeating something, that's like a very Manchurian Candidate thing. Mm-hmm. Like, where it's like, we're just going to repeat this to you so many times that, like, now you're, like, chanting it.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're fully taking it on and believing it.
But it's used in advertising a lot, and it's not super nefarious. But also another one, and this is for you, actually. I found this one for you because they use studies with servers, like restaurant servers.
Ooh.
And it's called, it's imitation, essentially. So it's a very popular technique with politicians and con artists as well. But it's the repeated words trick. And it can actually sway people in your favor without them even knowing. All you have to do is repeat the last few words that they said back to them in the same way that they said them. So what happened
was...
Yes, exactly. There you go. You did it.
You're so I'm good so at this good. Already, Tyler.
Now you know I want to give you stuff.
Cult expert.
wasn't lying.
It's the power of, like, mimicry. So humans are very social animals. And honestly, like, that's all we are. We're just animals. And the study of human behavior is a lot like the way that we study, like, apes in the wild or, like, cats in the apartment. And...
cats in the apartment.
In their natural environment.
In their natural habitat.
That's what happens.
But the thing is there's a switch in our brain that flips when someone mimics us, and it makes us go, this person is like me, therefore I like them, or I want to help them, or I want to serve them.
That happens with same names. If you meet an Ashley, you are more likely
automatically like, what's
you
up,
have
girl?
That in common. Yeah. Or like if someone has the same last name. Oh my God, I never meet
same
any
Schulkes.
Right.
Same birthday. Mm-hmm. All of those.
I was at a bachelorette party this weekend techniques. And there were two other Laurens, and the three of us bonded immediately.
See?
We were like, Lauren, Lauren, Lauren.
Yeah.
Was great.
The three L's.
The three L girls.
Three losers.
No. No, but it's like, have you ever, wait, hold on. Can I just say really quick?
Yeah,
to interject. There's this really famous hypnotist, and I think he does social experiments. His name's Darren Brown. He's from the UK. And he has a special on Netflix called The Push. And it's talking about basically these brainwashing or hypnotic techniques. Hypnotic? Hypnosis?
Hypnotic?
Great.
I think that's correct. I would say
and it,
that.
And it is that common. So like they plant a guy that says that he has the same last name as the person that they're doing the experiment on, and they immediately have like kinship there. Mm-hmm. And it's because and that's slowly hypnotizing him. So it's like brainwashing, and there's not a whole lot difference, I guess, now between brainwashing and hypnosis.
No, that's all hypnosis is a form of brainwashing.
Right.
But
it's just a strand of it in another way.
Yeah.
Crazy. So if you want to use this, so basically one study showed that customers were more likely to buy from salespeople who repeated phrases that they used or mimicked their mannerisms. So if they did like a weird thing with their hand and like the salesperson did that same weird thing, they were more likely to buy what they were selling.
It's because we go to what we know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
comfort.
That familiarity.
Yeah.
Also, if one of the researchers mimicked the posture and body language of the subject was three times as likely to help him pick up a box of pins that he dropped.
What?
Excuse and then me? This one is specifically for you. In a Dutch study, they explored the relationship between mimicry and generous tips at a restaurant. And they went into a restaurant and calculated the average tip. Then they told the server to repeat what half of her customers said after ordering exactly as they said it. And then the other half of her customers, she was just supposed to say, coming right up, or we'll have that right out to you, or whatever.
In Dutch.
And the tips from the mimicked customers were almost 70% more generous than those from the non-mimicked.
No way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's why they repeat orders back?
Possibly. I think that I think it's something, I don't know what it is. I think it's that familiarity. If you can find that. I also think that it has something to do with just like having a connection to your server. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because there's some people that come up and they're like, what would you like? Okay, cool. And then leave and you don't see them.
I never tip those people well because I'm like, where have you been? You said two words.
Yeah, it's like,
to
you're
me.
Lucky
you're
that I only
tipped
15 to 20% at all times because I wouldn't give you anything.
Right. It's like I always tip no matter what, but I will not do like
22%
like
yeah,
I sometimes
I'm not going
to
give you, I'm not going to round up.
But now I want to know if those times that I did do the extra tip,
try
if it's
it.
Because they did mannerisms and, you know what I mean?
So when you say mimicking, is it like, hi, I'd like the steak well done with green beans, and they say the steak well done with green beans? Like they would say it back to you? That's what you mean? Okay, yeah. I was just making
that's
sure.
That's all it takes?
Instead of being like, okay.
Like steak like, well done with green beans.
And a lot of restaurants
and then
say
maybe like
don't.
Flash them a little smile. Good choice.
That's what's so funny.
Wink,
good
wink,
choice.
Wink, wink. Yeah.
Shrug.
Apparently.
No, yeah, that's crazy.
No, it's funny because most restaurants say don't repeat back. Like that's supposed to be like known as like a common thing, you know, like a McDonald's
really?
Is going to repeat back. Don't do it at this nice restaurant, you know?
Oh, well, if they only knew.
Well, if they only knew.
I was going to say, I don't see why that would, I guess they're trying to separate themselves from fast food, but like it's a nice thing to have your order repeated back. Come on.
People worry about the craziest things.
They sure do.
It's fine. I had a couple other things about just brainwashing that has nothing to do with cults and stuff. Being brainwashed by your friends and significant others and your parents. And a lot of the time that happens when you're young and dumb and impressionable. So like in high school, for instance, you remember being in high school and just kind of going with the flow of what the majority of people that you considered important.
Sure.
So like when the cool kids were wearing Hollister was the thing to, you know, dreamed of having a Hollister shirt or a pair of Hollister jeans because all the popular girls had Hollister jeans and it's all I wanted. But my mom's not going to pay $80 for a pair of Hollister jeans.
Guess whose mom
did?
Hey,
oh,
it was Abercrombie.
Yeah. No. Oh, but
Abercrombie?
Yeah. Abercrombie
was huge. And also
like,
I remember there was a stealing phase. Like all of the girls in the drum department went through a stealing phase and they got caught
because all the other girls did it.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
never
exactly
got
all of
it
them
was
said.
Little though, like some girls would steal clothes. I would just steal like lip gloss and earrings from Claire's, but
yeah, they were
still
on your level.
Yep. I'm calling the police.
But still, like they did
I'm
it and these are girls that I
right
know
now.
Would never do it, but because all of them are doing it, they would do it.
I didn't have that, but the thing is like looking back, that wasn't my style at all.
Yeah.
And not because
what are you talking about?
But like not because like that wasn't I wore the same Johnny Knoxville t-shirt and like old shitty like Levi's every day.
We wouldn't want
you know what
any
I mean?
Other
like
way.
I was like garb like Hollister was not I didn't like the clothes.
It didn't go with your
but
boho
then you
chic.
Felt like you had to get it
but
in.
All the popular girls wore them and they looked so cool in them. Like I wanted the Hollister jeans. But it's like I wouldn't fucking wear them. Like
I feel like you guys would have been popular.
I was like, I was too weird. I had the same like goofy sense of humor in high school. And it's not cool to be goofy in high school. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not cool to be goofy.
I don't know how to get away from being goofy. So.
I hate saying this because I think it sounds so dumb. But like, I was popular in high school.
I knew
like,
you were. I knew it.
I hate saying that out loud. I feel like my face is even turning red saying that because that's such a dumb thing. But I was.
Yeah. No, it's okay to be popular.
Totally
Joe is super popular in high school.
I totally hung out with the popular crowd.
I know. Look at him.
But what I do like about myself is I was in the popular crowd, but I was not a bitch. Like I hung out with everybody because I also did the spring musical. So I hung out with the drama kids.
Yeah.
I also like to smoke weed. So I hung out with the stoners. But then like my best friends were the football cheerleaders. So.
I feel like you're like, I hung out with everyone. I hung out with the fats. I hung out with the
I hung out with the overweight
the
kids.
Yeah.
No, but it was like the different like hobbies.
The thing is I was popular in the sense that everyone knew me.
Yeah, and probably really liked
there goes
and
that
liked
weird girl.
Me, but yeah, I wasn't enjoyable. Considered a popular person.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't like I was never gonna be like prom queen. You know what I mean? Like that's just not.
I wasn't either, but I was junior attendant. That was like the junior equivalent. The juniors get invited to go to prom too, and only the seniors can be on like the court, but they elect two junior attendants just to feel special.
I think we had that too, actually.
And I was junior attendant. Prom should only be senior year.
I actually agree.
We had junior-senior prom too. It was juniors and seniors.
Why?
I
what is there?
I don't know.
No,
we did
for juniors,
and I went with a senior to prom, so I remember feeling like cool because it was my first prom, but also I was like, and I'm going with the older grade.
Yeah.
It was all dumb, but... Yeah.
Anyways, moving
on. I know.
Total side. We were all popular in high school. No, but okay, so crazy controlling parents. They can brainwash a kid into thinking, or even like church leaders, like we said, that he or she is going to hell if they have sex or if they're gay or whatever. That's literal brainwashing to think that you are going to go to hell for premarital sex or for anything, really. That's brainwashing.
I know so many people that think that, and I want to shake them. Like, I know they're not like close friends, but people that I used to go to church with, I'm like, how do you believe this?
Because someone
be true?
Told you enough times. A big one actually is gaslighting, which is like a popular word these days. I feel like a lot of people have heard. Do you know what gaslighting is?
I feel like I do, but let's explain.
Oh, for sure. So gaslighting came out a lot during like the Me Too movement, as a term. So basically gaslighting is when you manipulate someone in such a way that it makes them question, they make you question your own sanity. So basically, like, if you accuse someone of stealing, or if you accuse someone of cheating, or if you accuse someone of murder, and they say like, no, and also you're crazy
for thinking
so many times enough
that
you were going,
I would do that to you.
And then you start to question your sanity.
And then not only are you questioning your sanity, you're also like, then you're apologizing to them because you did something wrong. But really, like, you didn't do anything wrong. They are the ones that stole, cheated, and murdered. Right. But like, they are gaslighting you. They're making you think that you're crazy for thinking that.
Which so many women, like you were saying, are coming forward now and telling their stories of this happening, where it's like, oh my gosh, this was happening to me for years, but I was told it was totally fine. And I was the one being insane, like thinking it was wrong and wanting to tell someone.
Yeah,
so
saying
I just
like, you know, he, you know, masturbated in front of me and like it made me really uncomfortable. But when I told my agent, they told me like, well, deal with it. Yeah. It happens all the time. You know what I mean? So then you're not only uncomfortable.
You're conditioned to think that.
Yeah, you're not only uncomfortable with like what happened, but you're also embarrassed because you brought it up. Like, oh, this happens all the time. So now that's double on you. That's gaslighting.
Mm. There's another technique that the cult I studied did that they call love bombing, which
love
is
bombing.
Yeah, basically like when you're meeting or when you're starting like the initial like introduction. I'm talking to you, Ashley, and I notice, say that you are, I love your bracelet, and then you start talking about, you know, I'm a feminist too. That's so great. And I start to talk to you about that. And then like, oh, I love sushi. I love sushi too. We should go out to sushi sometime. And you start to just love everything about them. You start to agree with everything that
and
they're doing.
And how could you not like that?
How could you not like that person?
Like
that?
Right.
And that's how it all starts, because then you're going to start to like that person. You're going to start to trust that person. And then that person can start saying things
like,
to you. You're like, well, this is a person that I trust and has so many things that are in common with me. I should do this maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Love bombing. I like that.
Love. I know that term.
I'm going to start love bombing Joe.
You don't already?
I thought that's what you've been doing.
So when it comes to the type of brainwashing we're going to talk about today, those last techniques, they're definitely involved somewhat, but there are some very specific brainwashing techniques that come about when discussing like cults. So each of us looked at a specific cult to talk about today to give you examples of how they brainwash their followers and the different techniques that they use. And we're going to start with Tyler.
Yeah,
because he's talking about something V-exciting.
V-exciting.
So, actually, my cult that I decided to research is Nexium. There's many different facets of it as well. Another popular name right now is Janus.
I haven't heard that one.
Commonly known or associated with Allison Mack from Smallville. The reports have been saying that she was basically the second in command, the ringleader of a sex cult or a sex ring.
She was like the female portion of this, the leader that brought them in, right?
Well, yes, but she didn't start out that way. She was in the cult for about 12 years.
Oh, 12 Jesus.
Years.
Yes.
It's been around for 12 years?
Yes.
I thought this was so much fresher.
Nope.
Whoa.
No.
So she was in the cult when she was on Smallville.
So she joined and she went to her first meeting in 2006 when I graduated high school.
When was Smallville on?
It was on then.
2004? I think the last season might have been, when I was researching, I think it was the last season was 2011, 2010.
That sounds right.
So, okay.
I definitely watched it in high school. I'm pretty sure I was a junior season.
Yeah. So, okay. So just a little bit about Nexium or like what people have said about it. So there's a co-founder, but like there's really one leader and his name is Keith Raniere and they call him the Vanguard.
Oh,
and that actually is interesting. He got the name from like his favorite video game, I think, or his favorite arcade game.
Okay.
But it was because the person destroyed their inner demons.
Mm. So he liked that name because it had that attachment.
Yeah. So he In the 1990s, he did have a pyramid scheme that just like was crazy. And he went, he had to close down his business basically. And then all of a sudden this other business, Nexium, popped up, and it then had all these different sects to it. And they were like, you know, it grew over time. He got a lot of funding because two of its members are the daughters of the Seagram's company. So they have a ton
Seagram's.
Of Seagram's like alcohol.
Oh my gosh. So they gave him all this money.
So they gave him a lot of money.
Assholes.
Well, I referred to this cult when we talked very briefly about it, like the day that the news broke.
Okay, yeah.
As Scientology, but for D-list stars.
Yep. So this is what's really funny is he actually, as it continued to go on, he started to tell people like, we need to be more like them. Like they're getting people.
They're getting like
so
good
one
people.
Of the things that they needed and wanted was celebrity. Mm. And actually at the time, Allison Mack was pretty hot topic just because of the fact also Kristen Kirk was as well. And she was like the main lead of Smallville. Right. She was like
with the
dark hair. And she had actually gone to a couple of these meetings, and she was the one who introduced her to it.
Good
Lord. And they went to these meetings. She went to the meeting in 2006. And, I remember they knew she was coming. So they basically brought in the big guns because they knew that they needed to get a celebrity on board because people are more willing to agree with a celebrity. People, if they know you and recognize you,
they're
going
to want...
Well,
that's the thing. Like, you can say, like, we've got the Seagram sisters, but it's like, who the fuck?
Yeah, like, no one really cares about
that.
No
one cares at all.
Now they probably have, like, a million followers on Instagram. They're probably... But back then...
they were nobody.
Yeah. So they kind of, like, introduce you by, like, going into these sessions called ESP, Executive Success Programs. Mm. The other thing that's also really... infuriating. Was that right?
What?
That was wrong. I just made up my own word because I'm so mad.
He added more R's.
Oh, there's so many R's. Oh, like a pirate. Okay, because, well, they say their whole guise behind this is feminism. They say it's a group of women that get together and we really empower each other. And when you ask for anything that specific, it's very broad and repeated that it's a women's group and we all for women and
just
all.
So unfair.
Oh, so it's
suck them in.
So angry. But anyways, at these executive success programs, ESPs, they're described online as a professional business providing educational tours, coaching, and trainings to corporations and people from all walks of life. So they're meant to be like self-help seminars, basically. And you go and
Scientology does the same thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Here, actually, I'm going to just really quickly before we get in any further, I'm going to let you know what Nexium says about themselves. Like when you go onto their online
website,
this is what their first thing initially is. Nexium is a community guided by humanitarian principles that seek to empower people and answer important questions about what it means to be human. The Nexium philosophy is expressed through a series of companies and initiatives, all of which were designed to broaden the way we currently think about problems and to help create solutions for a kinder, more sustainable, ethical world. With unique tools that facilitate success, both internally and externally, Nexium helps people realize the potential that exists within them.
Okay.
And then there's a quote from Helen Keller, and I bet she's like signing in her grave.
signing in her grave.
She's mad, y'all.
Oh my God.
So sounds good to me, right? Though, sign me up. Sure, I'll do a little bit of self-help.
Of course.
Yeah,
why not?
That sounds wonderful. I'm like, I could use that.
So yeah, and they start and like you get into these classes and it's much like Scientology. You have to pay for them. I think the first initial class is like $2,000. There's normally like a 16 or 17 like class session type like deal like that you have to get before you get to meet the Vanguard, blah blah blah.
Okay.
So Allison Max brought there, and immediately they have the co-founder, they have like all their highest like people there, they have the co-founder's daughter, and their job is to go in and be friends with her and love bomb her and make her feel accepted, make her feel like she's wanted. And this is a girl who has been in show business her entire life, actually. Yeah. Like she from like day one, it feels like. I think they moved to Orange County when she was extremely little and she started auditioning and just booking work. She moved from Orange County to LA without her parents when she was 16.
Okay.
And she started to go. And then she was a girl, she was going to go to college later on, and she was in a romantic partnership, and she was so headed towards New York when she booked Smallville. And so she booked Smallville, she goes to Vancouver, and she's feeling really lost almost. She's feeling like she didn't accomplish much. She feels really upset about the fact she didn't go to college, and she's looking for more out of life because she's been on sets her entire life. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very susceptible person.
Child actors in general are so vulnerable to outside influence,
absolutely.
To people who act like they want to be in your life because they love you as a person and not you as Allison Mack. Mm-hmm. Right. Even though she wasn't mega famous, right. She still wasn't. Was acting and she was still performing since right. She was a child.
I mean, I this is crazy. I mean, I remember from like Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves when she was like the kid, you know?
Oh,
like
Mila Kunis
was
God.
Her friend, like the bad girl.
I watched Smallville, so yeah. I knew her from that.
But yeah, she saved a boy's life with bananas, you know? Yeah. Like, let's give her some credit here, guys. Okay, no. So
she did some good things.
And there are people who've said NXIVM has garbage. Helped them. And I think it's because they keep it on a very service level.
Well,
and they don't
the same,
go into...
same as Scientology. Yes. There's a ton of people who say, like, it saved my life. I was an addict. Or, mm-hmm. like, it saved my life. I was...
Right. No, absolutely. But, like, he would go in there and he wouldn't start off... Like, NXIVM never exposed most of his followers to anything, like, overtly sexual. Ranieri had designed it that way with the curriculum that ranged from, like, childhood education to an acting studio actually called The Source. But it's flagship enterprise was these, you know, these ESPs, these executive success programs. So at them, they would start talking and saying things that would, like, subconsciously lay the groundwork. So it almost as if they're like saying things like men are meant to be, their genetic makeup are meant to be polygamous, like polygamy. What can I talk today? Polygamists.
Polyamory.
Thank you. Polyamory, sure. And women are meant to be monogamous. And
interesting.
It's saying that just
genetically.
Just genetically. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that near the beginning.
Okay.
But that's laying the groundwork then for men to become masters and women to become subservient
right.
and yeah. have to become these slave type mm-hmm. things. That's already from the get-go.
Yeah.
So anyways, she gets love bombed. They fly her out to meet the Vanguard. They say they're going to do this the first go. And that normally takes 16 classes, a ton of money. And she's like, mm-hmm. wow, great. Okay. So she flies out there and meets him. And this lady that was reporting this ends up going and doing some things for like 3 weeks. She comes back and Allison Mack is still there.
Damn.
Ah.
So she now Kristen Kirk at this time leaves and she actually will not comment on anything of it. There was another actress who has talked a little bit, I believe, about it, Grace Pack. She's from Battlestar Galactica and Hawaii okay. 5-0. There's other actresses who like have had like smaller parts on things that have come out and talked about it. So she's there. She's staying in New York. She starts to just really believe in what's going on with him. And she starts to really start following his teachings. And this, you have to realize, like, these the things with the sex and the sex cult part doesn't happen until, like, maybe, like, 6 years later. You know, okay. like, they've already laid a ton of groundwork. And she's now infatuated with this man.
Yeah.
And this man, it's interesting because when you're in his harem, I later found out, one, you're not allowed to shave. He loves pubic hair. But two, you're only Whoa. Allowed to have 900 calories a day.
My God.
Whoa.
That is nothing.
So most of the women have like a gray tinge to them. They're very unhealthy, malnourished. So that's already going to put you in a susceptible state as well.
Seriously. Yeah.
So you're going to listen to
you're
anything.
Weak. Totally.
They
brain
did,
is weak. You're tired.
Later, they would like sit them in front of... like basically deprogram them. They sit them in front of a TV and show them like heinous things like rape and violent acts so that they would start to be desensitized to it. And what really moved Allison Mack into this is one, I think she's just infatuated with him. You can watch these clips on YouTube where she's interviewing him. And I mean, she is just lost in his eyes. Yeah. It's really, really sad, actually. But so she worked her way up because his three most trusted harem members, two of them died, which is before the age of 60. And one of them defected. She actually had a kid with him. And she was like, nope, done. I'm done. And
did she take the kid?
Yeah, she took the kid. So, and she said some things on it too. She said like what they like to do is they the curriculum or the teachings that they call rational inquiry. Rational inquiry. And methods that in court filings, a defector, the mother of this child, as she's likened them to brainwashing. She says he elicits all this information from you. And then in her opinion, that's what he takes, that info, and he utilizes it and sees not where to build you up, but where to break you down.
I think that's one
and
of the most common tactics.
Yeah. And she also said at the time, like when she started to separate herself from this, you know, and be like, no, I don't want to be there for you sexually. Mm-hmm. He raped her.
Yeah.
Ugh. And he also taught these women they're connected through his sperm. So when they're hurting, he's hurting. So like that would then, so like if one of the girls is like, I don't like what you're doing, well then he's feeling that. So then all the other harem members are like, what are you doing? Why are you making him feel this awful? Don't do that to the Vanguard. And now you're isolated by all the other harem members who are supposed to be your sisters.
Your community.
Oh shit.
Before we get too far, like the Scientology does the same thing with the years of, you know, you're going to years of these self-help classes and this community.
Paying out the ass.
Paying so much money, and like you're really feeling like great effects of this. And then 6 years in, they're like, also, we worship Xenu.
Right.
And they're
but
gonna
then
come.
They've got you.
But then you're already in the community now. You've already given all your money to these people. You've already made all your friendships are now Scientologists, your family's Scientologists, and now they're dropping it on you. Like, by the way, they can't do that as much anymore because people know so much about Scientology. Right. But like in the beginning, it was like people
so easy
would
for them
say,
to do
like,
it.
I was a part of this community for 8 years before they told me, we worship aliens.
Right. Well, and there are men and women both in Nexium, by the way. JNS seems to be more of the feminist movement of them, but Nexium is both men and women. It's only the women that were, now they're focusing more on the harem of actually
because of the horrible things
down in them. Yeah. But there were both men and women that were a part of them. What's interesting is that in the early 90s, after like his, or when his, after his company had like gone under and everything, he started to think of new ways, I think, to make money, and he started to take out patents. And one of the patents that he took out in 2007, it's to a method of rehabilitating a type of sociopath who commits destructive acts. So Ranieri deems these sociopaths Luciferians. And he wrote that a Luciferian realizes his desires by any means without consideration for others and without remorse. A Luciferian is a person lacking in consciousness and loyalty to others. He commonly employs manipulation and deceit to achieve his desired end and is therefore capable of acts that could be highly destructive to those that interact with him. So a Luciferian therefore typically experiences pleasure or gratification in situations where normal people would be repulsed or disturbed.
So himself?
So himself.
So this guy.
Is that not?
Yeah,
insane.
He's describing himself.
He's describing himself.
So,
and it's insane that he's describing himself and that he could do that because, like I said, with these women, like he would then project on them, like they could only eat 900 calories, but he'd eat whatever he wanted. And he was actually rather portly. And that was his sacrifice, the defectors have said. He would say that's his sacrifice because he's out there saving the world and changing lives that he had to, there was no time to work out.
That's garbage. I hate this man.
But he said to his followers that Oprah Winfrey was not an ethical human because she was fat.
Ah, but he's okay.
That's fine. But he can look however he damn well pleases.
What I'm going to let you get back to this cult, but one thing we should talk about really quickly is what you're talking about, kind of, is the indoctrination. Mm-hmm. And it's the, so you don't start off right away with tearing people down. What you do you start right away with building them up.
Yep.
And you find out, what do you need? What are you missing? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're missing this? Okay. I can give you this thing.
Yes, but also in that moment, you're building so much trust.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that person is actually on a pedestal for the other person because they're being enlightened.
Right.
Well, and first, I have this order. There's three steps to indoctrination. And this is for like general cult in the traditional sense. Like this is a cult, Charlie Manson, that's a cult, the Jim Jones cult. Breaking down the self, that's number one. And to even begin that step, you have to make them like you in some way. Mm-hmm. So Allison Mack, like bringing her and inviting her, he probably
with
showered
all these prominent
her with
women
compliments.
Saying they're business women, they have all this money, and we're finding what we need in life because of this.
But after that, you have to take away their identity somehow. You can either straight up like assault their identity, you can guilt them by saying that they're bad because of XYZ. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the time they do it in a sense where they say like your beliefs are bad, like what you believed before this is wrong and here is why.
And then they use those things against them.
And then they use them against them later. Yeah.
It's part of the collateral.
Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. At this point, they can set up the temptation to convert to another belief system because their original belief system obviously wasn't working because they were so lost and they wanted blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, that's when you can offer the possibility of salvation. That's when you can like kind of like absolve them of the sins of their past life. And you can say, now, if you come over here, you don't have to worry about this anymore. If you come with us, you can have the power. If you come with us, you can blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Like you're always one step behind Max enlightenment. so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, you were, they always keep you in the dark.
Yeah.
They're
like, you still can't know everything yet.
You just can't see it because you're so close now.
You're still struggling.
Because we're talking now, you've been in this cult for so long that you're believing everything that this person is saying. So then, I mean, by that point, you're already gone.
Well, the same, you know, look at Scientology. The people who have made it to a certain level and then been knocked back X amount of levels because they questioned something, or they had a slip up and started drinking again or there something. Now all of a sudden you're back to a level 8.
Yeah. There was a group of women in NXIVM called, I think, the NXIVM 9. And they surrounded him, basically, and they recorded a video of them asking him and, like, basically asking about his philosophies, asking about all these things and telling him, no, you're wrong, kind of. And the court has sealed most of it. But those 9 ended up leaving. It's interesting because, I mean, he even says in the video, like, I've killed people, or I've had people killed for their way of thinking.
Jeez.
So you offer them salvation. And then after that, you have to rebuild them. And then you rebuild them to be what you want them to be. So in this case, you rebuild them to be your sex slave, essentially.
I mean, I mean, it just sounds like a domestic, like, violence, like, situation too, like, even like in an abusive relationship. I mean, that's exactly what you do.
Well, yes, exactly. That's exactly what you do. You first have to flatter them so much that they're like, this person loves me so much.
I'm the
and
most
then
important person to
when
them.
When you hit them, then you say, I wouldn't have hit you if you hadn't done XYZ.
And then you hear those women that are like, this was my fault. I did this thing wrong. If I was better, he wouldn't have hit me.
He wouldn't have hit me.
And that is, they are brainwashed by this man.
Not just women. Not just women.
It could be anything. Yeah. It could be a parent-child relationship. Yeah. It could be any sort of relationship. And then you literally train them like a dog, where you snap your finger and they do what you want.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's the same
idea.
Wow,
what dog does that? Because mine does not.
Riley doesn't really listen to instructions.
Excuse me?
Riley will just stare.
I'll do what I want. I taught her to be an independent woman.
That's what it is. Okay, go on. So that's so kind of what we're talking about when we say, you know, that we break them down, then build them up, and make them into the person that we want them to be.
Yes. Yes. What's also interesting is another form of brainwashing or hypnosis that we kind of like touched on earlier, but again, that Darren Brown, he did this special called Miracles for Sale, and it was not about religion at all. It was about faith healers and faith leaders and these people that say they can heal you or do things to you, like, you know, a blind man sees, all of that type of stuff. And basically how they get you to that place is similar to, like, if you've seen Wild Wild Country on Netflix, about the Rajneeshpuram community.
Listeners, you better have watched it by now.
They do a similar thing to this, which they call, what do they call it? Dynamic meditation.
Yeah.
And what it is it's very similar to what a stage hypnotist does. So, like, what Darren Brown does on stage when he hypnotizes someone. So that's how he's so close to it and knows. A stage hypnotist will put his volunteers into, like, a suggestible state with an induction at the beginning of his act, like, as a faith healer would too. And he achieves the same effect, but indirectly. You know, you start to, like, hum along, or you start to just, like, you're starting to just do what he's doing as well. And then throughout the course of the event, there's a constant shift between upbeat and then meditative music and chanting, and then, like, you know, trance-like. And it starts to put you into this, you're getting really heightened, then you're getting really low, then you're getting really heightened, then you're getting really low. And it puts these energies into you, so you are in a trance-like state. So then when he goes, bah, you're going to fall over with the spirit of God, you know, like, because you're more susceptible to it, because your body's going through these quick changes so fast. It's a way of hypnotizing someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it's something like, you know, flooding yourself with endorphins. You know what I mean? That it changes the chemicals in your brain.
Yes.
It's not just like
to want to believe and attach yourself to these things. And they repeat the trigger phases, like the one I keep doing. Bah! Yeah. That's my favorite one.
Bah!
and the faith healer can then create, you know, what he wants because of the state that you're in. You're more susceptible. So, like, that's why people fall over. That's why. Yeah. And it's so interesting that. That's what cults are doing as well. You know what I mean? To get you to that state of brainwashing, really.
Yeah, it's a euphoria, essentially, is what they're doing. You see that in Wild Wild Country with the Rajneeshis, when they would say, like, he got on stage and you could just feel.
And people just started busting up crying.
Yeah, yeah. Busting up crying.
Although,
it's like
fair,
having the Beatles on stage.
Well, I was going to say, to be fair, a friend of mine went to a voice taping and it was back when Usher was on. And apparently he just like looked at this girl in the audience and she just broke down crying.
That is how people felt about
Joe
him.
Was telling me, actually, the first time that the Beatles performed in the United States, I think it was in the United States. Or it was their first like live performance on television or something. They were in this round. It was like a stadium, kind of. It was like that scene in That Thing You Do when they're performing in the center.
Oh,
and
yes.
It was like a stadium all around. It was like that. They actually took that from the Beatles' first like television appearance. Nice. And the floors are slanted up like a stadium. Apparently, this is not a rumor. This actually happened. There were actual rivers of urine pouring down towards the stage.
People were just peeing.
They
didn't know what to do.
Young teenage girls were losing control of their bladder when they first saw the Beatles, because you have to realize that no one had ever done that before.
Right.
We had never had anything like that before.
Mass hysteria like that.
Yeah, it's just like the Rolling Stones. You know how people would literally like crowd the stage? We didn't have that rock and roll yet.
Right.
No one had heard those sounds before, and they lost their fucking mind.
Can't believe they lost bladder control like that.
Literally, there
were Ringo.
Such true excitement for
there
Ringo.
There were streams of fucking urine towards the stage because they lost control of their
bodies. Damn, girl.
It's that same idea, I guarantee it, where it's just like you can't believe what you're seeing.
Oh, God.
And what you're
feeling.
When you
watch her interview,
Keith
Raniere, and you see him like spreading his wisdom. She is infatuated, you guys. Yeah. She is infatuated.
So
and she
crazy.
Starts to cry at one point. She goes, "That's so beautiful. It makes me want to cry."
My gosh.
No one
so
can
she
make
was
me feel that way.
Head over heels. Like,
maybe David Duchovny.
Yeah, that actually is so true. If he were in this
if
living
David
room right
Duchovny
now, you would just start
like,
bawling and peeing.
I feel like
poop.
I probably would be that way with Mandy Moore, but at the same time, I'd be like, I want to be your friend so bad that I'm going to be so cool.
You would have to keep your cool. I want to be in her gang.
Yeah, her gal pal. Okay, so back to gruesome. The biggest scandal that's come out about this is this sex cult. So I want to kind of take you, one of the defectors has talked about what's going on in it. So the co-founder named Karen Salzman, her daughter Lauren.
And when they say sex cult, are you talking about the harem?
I'm talking about the, yeah, yes.
His actual cult,
I don't think.
Well, because when I first heard about, oh, it's a sex cult, it's sex trafficking is what they kept saying. I thought that they were involved in actual like sex trafficking,
so
where they were like taking children.
Not
and, like,
children, no, but they are charged with it. Like they're facing up to 15 years in jail.
Geez.
Yes, because these women were forced into these sexual situations that they did not ask to be a part of. So essentially, like taking what my understanding of it is, you sign over a confidentiality agreement, anyways, when you join this. So that's question
already,
there
already a bad start.
But you're already starting to trust these people, right? And they're just like you and you're trusting them. So Lauren Salzman, the daughter of the co-founder who co-founded it with Keith Raniere, she was so close to this woman that she was even like her maid of honor in her wedding.
Okay,
by the way, there's a Vanguard week every year and it's 12 days now, I think, and it's celebrating the birth of the Vanguard.
Very cool.
So it's called V-Days.
Oh, boy.
Anyways, yeah. So back to Lauren says, I have something new for you. It's top secret. You can't tell anyone, but it is life-changing. Life-changing. And this is a woman who's already changed her life already, right? So you're thinking, great, perfect. The only way that they were allowed to do it, though, is if they had some sort of collateral, some sort of a nude photo, something very very compromising.
Yeah.
So I mean, in this interview, they were like, don't you think that that was a red flag? And she goes, yes, but I trusted her. And it's all about that trust.
She was my friend.
She was my friend. So then she gets into this room and she's
this
handed
is
a
like
contract.
Scientology, because they
it's
do the
exactly
same thing. They
like
make
it.
You confess to all like your dirty little secrets.
Yep,
because
they have blackmail.
Record it.
So they can
they have
use
blackmail.
Them.
Yeah. And I'm good. Okay. So they get to this little room and there's a contract. And this contract is stating that Lauren is her master and that she is her slave. And it actually says this terminology. And she, of course, questions it the whole way. And Lauren's like, it's just, you know, a metaphor, guru, disciple. Like, it's just, you know, it's okay. Like, it's fine. She still trusts her. She still goes along with it. Ugh. There's four of these women. They strip them down naked and they're blindfolded and they're brought into a room and put into a circle. And they have no idea what's going to be happening to them. And then a doctor, a female doctor, came in and she had a solder pen or cauterizing.
Brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the girls were held down by the four. Actually, so the four were there. So three of them held down. Well, one got branded. About 30 minutes this took. She said it was more painful than childbirth. She really couldn't talk about it when she was, I mean, she was obviously. And it's right in the corner, like right below your panty line, but like kind of by your hip. So like by your vagina.
Yeah.
And the brand was a K and an R. But if you flip it, it's actually an M and a A.
Yeah.
So Keith, we talked about
Renere,
that.
Have you seen it?
I saw one and boy, oh boy.
I'm sorry. I have a picture for you so we can discuss it.
Great. Son of
that makes me hurt.
I'm coming over. I'm sorry for no. Yeah. So it's like bad.
Oh my God.
So from the side, what's so funny though is this is the way, this is looking at it front. So Allison Mack is the predominant name.
Yeah.
It's not from the side. Keith, it's the CK.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah.
But no, Allison it's is more the predominant.
Yeah. And that's what, like, and it's funny because in this interview, she is looking at it, you know, and like, obviously, like she's like I don't understand why this is happening. Like, and there were reports also that like people were whispering in their ears, like saying like you need to accept this pain, like for the Vanguard. And she actually, this woman was recording it on Lauren's phone, and she saw a text come in from Keith that said, "How are the girls doing?" So he's completely aware of everything that was going
right,
on.
Yeah. This wasn't 100%. Just Allison going like, right. "Well, I'm gonna have my own side thing where I right. burn the shit out right. of these women first."
Exactly. Yeah. So this was. After, like, those three women had, two of them had died, one left. And so Allison was the next one to step into that position, basically. And she was able and willing. She moved to Albany, New York, where their, like, headquarters are. Mm-hmm. She, I mean, her entire life was put into this.
Well, yeah. This wouldn't work for him unless he had a woman to take charge. Because
right.
inherently, women do not trust men as much as they trust other women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in a way that, like, if a man tried to, present this information to a woman, they would go, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
Yeah.
The flags would be flying. But yeah. like you it's said, like, it's her friend. Women.
And it was her best
it's her friend.
Yeah.
She trusted her. She was a bridesmaid in her
wedding.
Oh,
I forgot to say, this group has been known as The Vow, but it's also been known as, its most common name is DOS, which is Dominus Obscurus. I you know how hard I'm talking today.
Dominus
it's Latin.
Obscurus.
It's Latin. It means basically master over slave woman.
Okay.
In Latin. I'm not even going to try. So DOS. DOS is what it's called.
DOS is like the harem.
It's like, yes. The and so there's another woman. Do you guys know this show, Dynasty?
Uh-huh.
One of the actresses on it, she's actually a princess. She had a reality show, Growing Up Princess or Growing Up Royal or something. She's a daughter named India. India even did like a pilot for something like Teen Talk or something. She's beautiful. She's a part of this and she's still there. Ugh. And now her name is Catherine. Oh my God. Catherine
Keener.
No. Oh my God. Catherine Keener, don't do it. No.
No.
I should have this. But what's her name from
her mother from Dynasty? I don't know.
Yeah,
but anyway, so she's part of it. On, like, talk shows.
She's been going around talk shows and exposing. She said so when she last saw India, she had dropped a ton of weight, and India said she hadn't had her period in a year.
No.
So and that's terrifying. But
well, she's on the verge of losing organ function.
Yeah,
yeah, she is because of like. Him. Well, I mean, hopefully she's getting help now. I mean, she's still part of it. Apparently they've tried to find someone found photographs of her. They're not talking, but she's been going around doing the circuit to try and expose these people. And because the police have said, we really can't do anything if they're willing to do this. And she's countered with, they're not willing to do this. Is blackmail legal? Like, are you kidding me? Yeah, they're willing to do it because there's all these other things that are going on.
There are things
on.
Hanging over their
head.
Yeah,
the thing
they
is, like, yes, they volunteered to go there initially, but like you said, like, they use blackmail at first, and now she's starving.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she's starving. You know what I mean? Like, there's probably sleep, deprivation, because that's a huge technique as well.
So many issues.
Technique. Great.
Hello, Tyler.
Loving your speech.
Yeah. Cult expert, vocabulary basic.
Very amazing.
Yeah, so she's still there. She's trying to get her out. But I learned a lot of information from these interviews with her because she's really, really going public about it. Because, she, I mean, obviously she wants an end to it.
Yeah,
and I think
she wants. And one of our cult episodes is going to be about deprogramming.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we could talk about how in one of the future episodes, we're going to talk about how to get someone out of a cult.
Right.
Which is actually very difficult.
What's strange
if they don't
this
choose
one,
to leave
no.
themselves.
They
like
don't.
Trying to convince them on the complete opposite side mm-hmm. of what they
you
believe.
You have to
in. Like
literally
re-brain,
rewire
their.
You have to re-brainwash them. Yep. Yeah.
It's crazy, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting to see also. Like when he was arrested in Mexico, the cops were pulling away and Allison Mack was seen like running after the
crying.
Car. Yeah. Like she's
she
like
is
still
that far
head
gone.
Far. Yeah, she's that. And here, I'll show you actually the clip just so you can see. Like I just I'm going to show you like, you know, so you can
get in here.
Get. Well, this is first. This is a clip of her like trying like an advertisement for it. So she'd reached out to many celebrities. She reached out to Emma Watson on Twitter.
I saw that.
She reached out to Kelly
that.
Clarkson on Twitter. So this is her.
So before Jeunesse, I had tons of people around me all the time. I've always been a people person. People used to come visit me in my house and say they were going to Camp Allison because it was like, it was a party. Everywhere I went, it was a party. But I felt very lonely and I didn't understand why. That didn't make sense to me. And I imagined the idea of like finding the most wonderful husband and then feeling intimate and, you know, finding that one best friend and then feeling like at ease in my relationships, at least with just one person. I was just looking for one person. And I didn't understand why I couldn't get that. You know, I was so good with people. I was so good in a living room, but I was so bad at intimacy.
And she got him. Like, you know what I mean? God. Like, already you can already see this, like, her talking about it in hindsight. She knows she was in a desperate spot.
Yeah.
It sounds mm-hmm. like, you know what I mean? This is her.
She was, like, yearning for human connection
yeah.
that she was
oh,
not
yeah.
getting.
It's like,
mm-hmm. yeah. And then searching for something larger. And she'd also, like, she had a blog. And a lot of things on the blog were very telling. Like, there was a thing that she said where she's like, I'm so scared of getting caught or found out. Mm-hmm. But to, in reference to what we don't know. I'm guessing it's this, but...
You'd think.
So this is him.
Ew. I don't like him one bit.
Hey, Keith.
hey, Keith.
I was expecting
and
more.
She's asked him, like, several questions, and I believe this question is on, like, existence? Authenticity? What word am I trying to say?
Authenticity?
Great.
So one would say authenticity...
Yeah, that one.
...is being as you are and expressing... as you are, at least to some degree. Mm-hmm. And as you are is, of course, the sum of your whole past. So when someone's being authentic, you get the feeling that not only that there's a person there in the moment, but somehow you reach into their very essence and you meet a unique individual.
Mm. I don't know why. That makes me want to cry. It's beautiful.
I think these
she's
are all
so
things that
far
we...
gone.
She's so far oh, gone. She's look so how thin gone. She is. Look how thin she is. And look at that. She's just, I mean, she's just attached
I
to
mean,
every word.
Literally, when it flashed over to her for the first time after he said something, she like had sparkling eyeballs yeah. looking yeah. back
she,
at her.
He literally
was
like, the
I've
thing about authenticity, and she was like,
yes. Yes.
And
hanging
I was like,
on
you
his
don't even know
every
what
word.
He's going to say. It's almost like she's not even hearing what he's saying. She's yeah. just hearing like, blah, blah, blah,
she's
blah,
not.
Blah,
she's
blah,
not
blah,
hearing
blah.
Anything because she doesn't like.
Questions. I was like, wow, I have a lot of questions for you. Even though I've been your student for years and I get to spend all this time with you, I feel like there's always such a wealth that I can...
But when you have the opportunity to put a bright light on me and just question...
Yeah, exactly.
What the hey?
I have to take advantage. So the first question...
Oh, Lord.
My God.
She's gone.
She's gone. And did you see how like full of himself he was too, almost? Yeah. Like, yes, I do spread this word.
Yep. You are so lucky to be sitting here getting a deeper dive conversation with me. Like, shut up.
It's quite fascinating.
Her arm is about to snap off.
It's about
to, so thin.
So that, I mean, those are like the findings of it. Again, she's up for, both of them are up for 15 years in jail. They... let's see, she waived her right for a speedy trial, so she's going to go through it. The one thing they're really concerned about is that she's going to take credit for it all. And so now they're working, I believe, on getting evidence to make sure, like that one I said where the text came in, they're making sure that he was connected. Because one of the things that was interesting about, like, the Rashnishi Purim is that he was saying he was completely in the not in the know.
Yeah, he had
and
no
Sheila was doing everything, even though they had those midnight meetings.
This is like the exact same thing, the man.
It's
and
a mixture
the girl.
Between Scientology and, yeah, I mean, there's so many similarities between all of these. Yeah. And it's so funny. I don't remember if I said it or not, but Keith actually said to them, like, please start looking at Scientology. Start seeing what they're doing because they're getting members. They're getting there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and as most cults do, they're in it for the leader, at least. He wants he or she, usually he, wants the power, but they want money. It's the money.
Mm-hmm.
If you have celebrities, you get endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
The endorsements are usually in the form of, like, people, but it's more money. More money,
celebrity
more
is the
power.
Biggest endorsement, exactly. Though, actually. Like, celebrity, like, if, as soon as you see, like, mm-hmm. oh, my God, she goes there. Oh, he's there. Like, and they say this. Like,
and
Allison Mack was their Tom Cruise. Like,
yeah.
Which and is, she was, she. Okay. I mean, like, I know she wasn't as big of a celebrity,
but
she was
like,
able to use that, I think, more to her advantage, you know? And she could just go and be like, I'm just a real girl like you. Like, you know, I didn't do too much. I didn't, you know, like, and mm-hmm. she could. And it's funny because she even had a guest spot on Wilfred, that show with.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
I remember that.
During all of this.
Yeah,
like,
that
like, she had
that long
moved.
Ago.
Like, so 2011. So it was 2012 when she was with Wilfred.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, if you have those celebrities, if you have those powerful people, you can. One, recruit more people because they're like, oh, will I get to hang out with Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Oh, will I get to hang out with so-and-so? But especially if you're going into something like the entertainment industry.
And he says, I can help you. I can absolutely help you.
Knowing that there's connections. Like, mm-hmm. people in this town are so desperate for connections.
Because that's how
in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Because that's how
you
get.
It is.
It
with when they're legitimate.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. When
it has nothing
not crazies,
to do with. I'm sorry. LA has nothing to do with talent initially.
Yeah. I mean,
yes. You have to know the right person
to get your
foot to be
in the door.
Introduced to the right person, mm-hmm. so that they can put you in a room with the right person.
Right.
It's and then talent matters. Until that, talent doesn't matter.
Right.
Fucking at all.
Well, actually,
which is
there's,
so
a, like, there's a few more things on the list before talent.
Yeah.
What is crazy about this, though, is it seems like, at least in Allison's experience, she was having communication with people outside of it. She was talking to her parents. She even had her parents come to a few meetings. She was talking to a friend of hers that, like, legitimately was texting her up until that day and then said, like, what? It texted her saying, what is all of this? This seems crazy. And she just texted back, I'm home and I'm fine. And also, like, $5 million bail does not seem like you didn't do shit. Like,
yeah,
you know what
right?
I mean? Like, I looked it up. She's only worth $2 million now.
Ooh.
Only
two? Yeah. What a loser.
But what I'm trying to say is, like, yeah, she was still talking to the outside world, quote unquote.
Yeah,
so,
that's crazy.
Because she
was
recruiting. I mean, you can go online and see a ton of things from the times that she just has posted so many videos where she talks about J-ness and getting girls together and women and finding yourself. And
she was just trying to bring more people in.
More people in. And Keith's appetite for spreading his sperm apparently was insatiable. I mean, I think
he
they had
such
up to 50.
A gross
I think
guy
he had
too.
Vomited right
yeah.
now.
He wasn't
seen
gross
him,
in the way, because the thing is like Charlie Manson, you look at him and you're like, he's crazy, but he was kind of like sexy crazy.
I know some people are
you
like into
I mean?
like they want to like fuck people who like can hurt
like,
them.
Well, and especially back like in the time he had like the long hair and that cool look.
He always
yeah.
wore like those
the
shirts,
deep V.
The deep V, and you could see his like he had
chest
like
hair.
A tan chest, and it was like, Jesus, I get it, man. And he's a musician, and he's drunk.
But with Keith.
Don't fuck Charlie Manson.
No, hell no. Well,
please
he
don't.
Also,
no, I mean, like, I'm old, I guess, now. Goodness,
now.
But Keith, what? Why do women enjoy his company?
He looks like Stephen King.
Yeah.
He does a little bit.
He looks
Stephen,
like a young Stephen King.
Yeah.
Does a little bit.
There are pictures of him, like, with, like, longer hair as well, which I'm like, doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't help.
Grow a beard.
That doesn't
try
help
it.
Either. I don't try
it.
Try
it
because you look like
try
Stephen King. You look like a nerdier Stephen King.
Yeah, and she's looking at you like you are.
You look like an untalented Stephen King.
Yeah, the way she was looking at him, you'd think he was the most handsome man alive.
One, she's the size of like a
nothing.
Screw nail. Screw nail?
If she turned sideways,
what's a screw nail?
She'd be gone. What is
Guys,
a screw nail?
What has happened to me today?
I don't know.
I've given you so many new beautiful words.
I feel like you picked up the mic. And that was it.
And all
your vocab went
bleep 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 bleep.
infuriating.
I can't wait until I'm not even forming sentences for part three.
Yeah. I know. Blah, it's just going to get worse. Blah.
That's all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. Good golly gosh, this is a crazy world that we live in, and it's not near over. Next week, Tyler sits down with us again, and Lauren is going to tell us all about a cult from the 70s and 80s called The O, which we had never heard of and is so incredibly fascinating. I can't wait for you to hear all about it. And the three of us work really hard to keep our personal political beliefs out of the show as I present the different brainwashing techniques used by politicians and fascist leaders that are currently being used by the GOP. What the techniques are and how they work, and how spreading the knowledge of these techniques could help you formulate your own beliefs and communicate them to others who are tumbling down the proverbial rabbit hole. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Keep It Weird Cast and our Facebook page, Keep It Weird. Head over to iTunes and subscribe and rate us 5 stars. Pretty, pretty please. Check out our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast to find ways that you can donate and help us produce the show. As always, keep sending in your questions, comments, and feedback through any of our social media sites or by emailing us at keepitweirder@gmail.com. I'm going to leave you today with a quote from Stephen Colbert that I truly enjoy. Colbert said, "Here's an easy way to figure out if you're in a cult. If you're wondering whether you're in a cult, the answer is yes." Thank you for joining us, and we will see you next week.
Yes, hi, Keep It Weird. This is Tyler. I was wondering, have you actually found any cryptids?
Cryptids?
They're called cryptids, sir, but that's okay. People make that mistake sometimes.
Oh, I'm new at this.
It's okay. Don't be nervous. Ashley, you can take this question if you want. Have you seen a cryptid?
I sure have.
What was its
name?
Golly
gee, it was called a thunderbird, and it's real, and it lives in Illinois. Poo boy.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.